Our tech guru, Jesse Feiler, joins us to discuss current trends in tech. This morning, we talk about a new digital divide. What is it? What's it all about? And how it affects you and the web. Jesse Feiler writes and publishes books and apps about the theater, particularly about Uta Hagen and Herbert Berghoff, as well as technology, often from Apple, and community development, such as the annual Jane's Walks, sponsored by Friends of the Saranac River Trail. It is always a pleasure to welcome Jesse Feiler to the program. I have missed you. How are you?
We've missed you. Good to see you back.
It's wonderful to be back.
It's
Thank
great.
You very
wonderful
much.
Wonderful to have you back.
Good to see you. So I know we were tossing out a whole bunch of ideas of things to talk about today, and I thought that it would be interesting about the digital divide because I realize that I think I know what it is, but I'm not positive I know what it is, and why there is such a divide. We just spent a good period of time talking about a political divide. Why are we all so divided?
I'm not going to touch the political divide.
Okay. Well, no, but divisions. Yes, these issues. What is the digital divide?
Okay, well, before I say that,
yes.
Why are we so divided?
Yes, sir.
There are a couple of answers to that question, no matter in what context it's phrased. And I think the reason we are so divided?
Yes.
This is yet another thing that we can blame on the evil media.
We're inherently evil.
No, we can blame, because the job of a lot of media is to communicate, and one way of communicating is to get, you know, catchy headlines, simplify
right.
things, not oversimplify, get them to their essence. So,
to get people riled up,
to
in
get
some
people,
cases.
Or interest, it works both ways, to get people riled up, to get people understanding.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So
is that a non-judgmental way of saying it?
Yeah. Yes. I'm reading between the lines, but sure. when it comes to a digital divide and a new digital divide, what do we see? What is that? What is that? How does that manifest itself in our daily lives? Do you
okay.
think?
Okay. The digital divide, and I looked in Wikipedia, which is a good resource for certain things, including technology terms.
Yeah.
And their definition of a digital divide is an uneven distribution in the access to, use of, or impact of information and communication technologies. Uneven distribution in access, use of, or impact. And it's been very real. And the digital divide that we usually talk about is a divide of access.
Okay. So access, which I want to really focus on, so access, but which is different than how it is sometimes used, which is understanding and using and putting into a practical application.
Absolutely. Because the three things that Wikipedia likes on this, and I do too, it's access, use of, or impact of.
Yeah.
And we've been focusing rightly on access.
Yes.
But I think it's time to move on and look at the other issues, in part because although the digital divide definitely exists, we see it, there's lots of data on it, but although it exists, I think the balance has shifted a little bit, and the other things, the use of and the impact of modern technology
yeah.
is becoming more and more important.
You know, it's an interesting point to bring up, I think, especially for the two of us, because we have many things in common, but one of them being that we both live in fairly rural areas. And in that, really, when we talk about access, is key, isn't it? Because it's more of an issue there than perhaps it's still an issue in cities, obviously, for devices and so forth. But in rural areas, people are driving miles and miles and miles to be able to send a simple email.
Absolutely. And that still exists, although there are more and more. The problem is getting less over time.
Yes.
As the commercial vendors who are providing access see that there's money, they're sort of getting rid of the low-hanging fruit long ago. So they're providing more access. Governments like New York State, under Governor Cuomo, is focusing on providing unserved areas with access, particularly in the Adirondack Park. That's been, and Betty Little has been critical in that, because there have been, I know, because when I drive from Plattsburgh down here, it used to be back in the olden days, I would be out of communication with the rest of the world for at least half of the drive between Plattsburgh,
absolutely,
and Albany.
Yeah.
Now it still exists, but it is a much smaller area where I'm out of touch.
And what's interesting is that also has to do with where you're going. I mean, if you're coming down on the north way, it's different than if you're doing back roads. It's also interesting. I find that on the thruway, even if you're trying to get a signal, that can be easier if you're on a main road than if you are on a back road.
Yes, because the vendors make more money off of them.
Right. Now, you're always going to have pesky mountains, right? I mean, I know that sounds like a flip question, but right? Isn't that the geography gets in the way here sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, but what they're working on now, and we're told that G5, which is going to solve all the problems in the world, including the common cold, and it's here now, it's real, except where it is real is not quite clear. But yeah, we're always going to have mountains. But I think we're getting to a stage where the obstacles that mountains present to communication are becoming less and less as we use new technologies and we have more cells and more antennae.
So when you think about these issues, you mentioned, obviously, access. Now, the other two, and I wish I had written them down, but I didn't.
Yeah, I did, and I have them right
here.
Oh,
good. Fantastic.
The other two are...
It's my second day back. I'm still rusty.
use of access,
yeah.
Use of, and impact of.
Impact of. So how do we judge that impact? How do we know that? I mean, how do we measure that?
Well, what I've started doing is looking at, and I don't want people to get upset. I'm not belittling the fact that digital divide still exists. And we need to keep fighting for that. But the other aspects of it, the use of it, the impact of these technologies is becoming more and more important. And I have on my website, on the blog.
JesseFowler.com.
Yes, yep. But we changed that, by the way.
Yes. That's
another...
New year, new
yes,
you.
New year, yes. but there's like about a dozen bullet points there of examples of how the impact and the beyond the access is affecting these things. And the things like... if you look at how modern technologies that many people take for granted are being used, leaving aside the access, I'm talking about impact and the things like how many people do you know when you are, as a person or as an organization, particularly nonprofits, if you're trying to communicate to people, what are you using? Yes, we can say we're using the internet, but what tools are you using? Are you using, for some people, the reflexive approach to communicating with people, audience members, donors, business colleagues,
right,
is the internet, and that means email. To other people, it means the internet, and for them, it means Twitter.
Right.
It means messages. And we're seeing the same kind of divide that we had when there was no access. We're seeing the same kind of divide happening here.
Or cellular and texting, right? Isn't that?
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Messaging. You mentioned. Yes.
Yeah. So that the people who, and I'm thinking back to a discussion in a nonprofit board. I was had the pleasure of being in.
It's always a pleasure, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But several board members, we were talking about getting the message out, And several people were saying, we need to revamp our website. And a troublemaker,
we'll go nameless, although I have him here, yes.
Said, why revamp the website? Why don't we finally get Twitter used here? And one of the board members said, oh, I never got into Twitter. Now, if you just look at a newspaper or an article, anything, look at how many news stories in the last day have been generated off of Twitter. The primary source, so-and-so tweeted, this senator tweeted,
right,
or the staff of this senator tweeted. But it's not interpretive. It's not a reporter. It's the primary source coming out using Twitter as the primary medium. That's new.
How generational is this? And I guess I want to just make it a larger question and say, won't it always be somewhat generational?
Yes, no, and yes.
Okay.
How generational is it? Quite. Because the early adopters of the internet technologies, who are now older,
right,
than they were then,
yes,
as is everyone, the early adopters think immediately of email, think immediately of websites. The younger generation that has grown up with technology thinks right away of how to get the message out, thinks right away of Instagram, messaging, tweeting, and all the other tools, of which there are so many.
It seems, going back to the Howard Dean campaign, that we always hear about this during various political campaigns and elections, where somebody will say, well, this person, well, they may not win, but this person is doing an amazing job. We did hear this about President Obama when he was
and
first
now we've
running,
heard about it with Trump.
With Trump as well.
There's
of
an
course.
Article on the website about this.
Yes. So, I mean, that's fascinating, because this does come somewhat cyclically every 4 years, because we do hear about the people who are able to use this technology and find out that it really works.
And that's why, if you notice, in terms of what happens in media, every 4 years in this country, we have revelations of new technologies, which in fact have been building up, and the networks and the other communications tool providers focus on the presidential elections because there's more attention being paid, the audience is bigger, and so forth. So that's why it happens around that. Howard Dean was the first to really glom
right.
onto it. Right now, Trump's campaign is way ahead in terms of communication with the new tools. And there's a very good article that's in the blog on the website talking about geofencing and how important that is. It grew out of marketing and the fact that with geofencing, you can pick up people who are looking at sweaters. So that, I remember when we first started to talk about geofencing, someone could look at sweaters in a department store, if people know what that is.
Yes.
And I shouldn't have said that, should I? But it's okay.
And you mean department stores, not sweaters. Go ahead.
Yes. Someone was looking at sweaters and say, this pair of pants would go with that sweater. We could do that. And then the politicians and media people have picked up and then said, oh, rather than just pairing sweaters with pants, we can pair candidates with...
Right. With people and ideologies
and
that
the
they
same
hold.
Same technology.
Back when I was a kid, we called it granimals. Remember that? It was like you would have one type of like a shirt, and then you would match the animal, and then that would sort of tell you that this shirt matched that pair of pants.
Oh, yeah. Now it's automated.
And now it's automated. It's so much easier. It's so much easier. So if you put all this together, I think back, and I don't know if this is an apt analogy. You tell me. But, you know, I think of early on technology, and we thought of, well, there was VHS and there was beta. And then Beta died and VHS came into play. And then at some point, like even DVDs, and then Blu-ray is going to, and then still DVDs are sold. And so there's things that kind of market driven. I bring that up only because, and I realize that's hardware, but I think it's interesting because we're entering a place where that technology of, as you mentioned, Twitter or other platforms, that's kind of limitless. There doesn't have to be one or the other. They can live together.
And that's the answer I would give to your question of, is this going to continue to happen? Because I think we are going through an evolution from having primary sources like websites and email, which that's how you communicate, period,
right.
End of discussion,
yes.
To the multiple tools. And I think it's not that we are going to, you know, de-emphasize websites and then move to technology X. I think we're going to move from the big players, websites, email, to the multiple players. And within that field of the multiple players, there's going to be churning over time.
You know,
that's my guess.
Yeah. One of the things that I was going to touch on earlier, but it seems like we've come back to it, so I'd like to bring it up, and that is we all have these, well, most of us, I mean, there is a divide, but many of us, let me put it that way, many of us have these devices, and I'm wearing an Apple Watch, you're wearing an Apple Watch, you have an iPad, I have an iPhone, we have them in front of them. I always feel that I'm using maybe 12% of what that device is capable of doing. And isn't that a divide from what that can offer us to what we actually use?
Yes, but I think that's a different kind of divide because we all have tools and options that we don't use.
Right.
That we don't know how to use.
Right.
And periodically, when people are talking to one another, someone will say, oh, did you know you can do such and such? And so, but to me, that's somehow a different category. There's a lot out there that we don't know how to do.
But it's understanding. I mean, one of the things that seems to be, this goes maybe back to the generational question, and you were talking about how a lot of these designers and people who started this are older now. Well, one of the things that we've always been told about Apple Technologies, which I know you have worked very closely with, is that they were intuitive. That they were intuitive, and people could pick them up more easily because they were intuitive. Is that still the case? Are these things still intuitive?
Can I give you a hedgy answer?
Of course.
They're still intuitive, but what we're doing is more complicated.
Oh, that's not hedgy. Okay, I mean that's a solid answer, isn't it?
And I'll give you one very concrete example that I just went
yes.
through.
Yes.
In, I think, the last major release of the operating system from Apple, Catalina, they changed a lot of the ways in which you could, they did a lot of work behind the scenes, minor changes to it. And you now can pick up your phone and take a photo of something, like a page of text.
Yeah.
And it will automatically, if you want to, you push a button, it will go onto your disk as a document.
Yeah.
In some cases, actually converted from the image of text to editable text.
Right.
That's quite remarkable. We've been waiting for that for a very long time.
And this is similar to, I'm just going to use, if people can't imagine what you're talking about, of if people have taken their phones and with their credit cards or with gift cards, where you put the camera up to the card and it automatically reads the number and puts it right into the box and you're off to the races.
Yes. And it's similar also to the notion that we have of being able to scan something.
Right.
So Apple did a lot of minor, relatively minor adjustments to that. I'm working on a book now that includes a lot of material from typewritten pages that were typed by volunteers in the early 1940s.
Okay.
And
typed.
typed.
Okay.
Do you remember typewriters?
I do remember typed. I was just hoping it wasn't like handwritten because
no.
Yeah, okay.
Typing. And I found the fastest way using these new technologies, and I didn't follow instructions. That I worked with them. Using some of the new tools in Catalina. What I do is I take one of these documents from the 1940s, and I can take a photo of it with my phone and immediately save it onto a file on my phone.
Yeah.
And then because it's sideways, these are over 50 years ago, and people were we had all sorts of tricks of typing. So I've got the image of it on the phone. I can then take the image, look at it, and dictate it back onto the phone. And the dictation software on Apple that's released in Catalina is so good that that is now the fastest way for me to get these documents from the 40s. Photograph onto a phone, read, transcribe automatically, and I've got it digitized. It takes more time to explain it than to actually do it. It's remarkable.
So we started off with in this discussion about saying about access, and that is getting better. So do you think, is it safe to say as technology grows and as we grow, there will always be some sort of divide, or can we conquer that?
I think the divides are going to be, as I said, as we get more complicated,
yeah,
I think there will be divides of people who know how to do this. Like what I'm doing with photographing and dictating and transcribing is a fairly complex operation. It is remarkably fast. A lot of people don't know how to do it and have never even thought of doing it because they're still thinking of scanning and so forth.
Right.
So we're going to have those divides. I think that, but we also, I'd like to think in a pleasanter way, that maybe it's like the divide of, I remember when I was at school a number of years ago, an English professor argued with many people over who the greatest author in the English language was. And he had three, I can only remember two of them. So the two of the Dr. Egerer's favorite authors were the writers of the King James Version of the English Bible.
All right.
And Jane Austen.
Oh, okay. Shakespeare not in there, interestingly.
I don't either. Okay. He's the one I'm forgetting or I don't know. But
right.
I just
That's
remember
fine.
Jane Austen and the King James Bible. So you're always going to have people who are, this is the answer, long answer to your question of are we always going to have divides? We're going to have people who say, you know, Jane Austen is better than Shakespeare or,
and you're
that's,
have
that's
opinion.
New to them.
Right. You're always going to have opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're always going to have that. But I think as we start digitizing, automating more complex things, there will be people who do and don't know.
But that also that wraps us around to the end of this. That makes it more possible to have more and more platforms and more things available to tools, so that people can try different things. Not everybody's going to want to do that, but they at least can do what they need to do.
And I think more tools and more ways of working and more flexibility, that I'm all for that.
Well, I have missed you a great deal. It's wonderful to have
you
back.
It's great.
So I look forward to you coming back next month. Jesse Filer is our tech guru. He has a new website. It's his very own name. It's Jesse Filer. I'm going to spell it for you. It's JessieFiler, jessefiler.com. You can also go to our website, wamc.org/roundtable, and you can find it there as well. Always a pleasure, sir. Talk
Good
to you in a week.
You.
In a month. Or in a week.